弟兄姐妹、朋友们平安。
Brothers, sisters, friends, peace be with you.
上个周末，我们中间有不少的家庭外出，享受一年一度的联邦假日劳工节。
Last weekend, a lot of families among us went out of town to enjoy one of the annual holidays in the United States, Labor Day.
当我们在过劳工节的时候，大家有没有知道有一首诗歌的名字叫《八小时》？
When we are
有没有谁知道这一首诗歌
？When we are enjoying the Labor Day, does any one of you heard of the a labor song named 8 Hours？
这是在1878年代那个时候的一首美国工人歌谣。
It's a labor song in late 19th century.
在19世纪后期的1860年代到1880年代。
In the late 19th century, from 1860 to 1880,
是美国工业革命兴起的时代。
it's a industrial revolution in the U.S. sprang up.
大家知道那个时候，工人每天工作的时间是多少吗？
Do you have any idea how many hours did workmen work daily at that time?
每天的工作时间多达十几个小时，
More than 10 hours daily.
甚至是以上。每周的工作时间平均大概在60个小时，甚至呢多达100个小时一周。
60 hours weekly, sometimes even 100 hours weekly.
所以，为了争取到每天8个小时的工作制，
So, in order to fight for 8-hour day,
美国各地的工人代表呢就成立了全国的总工会。
representatives of working people from all over the United States set up the National Labor Union.
与代表当时用咱们的话说是，代表资本家利益的政府来抗争。
To make a stand against the government authorities standing for the interests of capitalists.
所以在1886年5月1号，美国全国各地工人举行大罢工。
On May 1st, 1986, workers from place to place waged a general strike throughout America.
那他们就高唱着由美国卫理公会牧师 J.C. Henry 他谱写的《八小时之歌》走上街头。
People sang loudly the labor song, 8 Hours, composed by Rev. Jesse H. Johns, pastor of Congregational Church.
那当时美国的重镇就是咱们附近的芝加哥，那里的工人，他们为此都付出了一些生命的代价。
In the campaign, workers in the industrial city Chicago even paid their lives for this.
你看他们游行的时候，这是8小时，他们举着牌子。
You can see from the picture, they have eight-hour.
到了1900年的时候，全美国70%的工业劳动者每天的工作依然是超过10个小时。
To 1900, there were 70% workers who still worked more than 10 hours daily.
直到1938年5月1号，美国政府被迫颁布了一个叫工时法，在全国范围内实现了8小时的工作制。
Not until May 1st, 1938, when the U.S. government was forced to pass Fair Labor Standards Act, also called Wage and Hour Law, were the 8-hour day established in the United States.
我找出来了这个《八小时之歌》，给它打印出来了，中英对照的。我们要把世界变个样，我们厌倦了白白的辛劳，光得到仅能糊口的功享，从没有时间让我们去思考。我们要闻闻花香，我们要晒晒太阳。
Pastor have printed out the lyric of 8 hours, just as he has just read.
你看，我们相信上帝只允许8小时的工作日。我们从船务车间和工厂召集了我们的队伍争取。然后副歌是8小时工作，8小时休息，8小时归自己。副歌，告诉你。
Sorry, I cannot see it.
8 hours for work, 8 hours for rest, 8 hours for what we will.
It is reported that on this year's Labor Day, President Obama signed an executive order aboard Air Force One as he flew to Boston.
因为他是去波士顿参加一个劳工节的庆祝活动的途中签署的。
He flew to Boston for the annual Greater Boston Labor Council's Labor Day breakfast.
那这个命令呢，就是从2017年开始要求与联邦政府有合同关系的那些公司，给予他们手下大约有30万的雇工，给予一年最多有7天的带病休假。
This order gave employees working on federal contracts access to up to 7 paid sick days per year starting from
带薪病假
paid sick days
但是大家知道与联邦有合同关系的这些公司手下的员工 他说是30万 这个命令了从明年就开始了但是全国有多少劳动者没有享受到带薪病假 大家知道吗?
But do you know how many workers can't enjoy this kind of
我不知道在座的有多少人享受这个带薪病假 有几天? 是不是有7天?
Anyone
目前全美国仍有 4400万 占美国劳动力大约 40%的私营企业的员工 都没有享受到带薪病假这个福利
Right now, about 40% of private sector workers, 44 million people in America, don't have access to paid sick leave.
其中很多人都是那种低收入的员工。
And most of them are among low-income group.
而且美国还是世界上发达国家中唯一的一个国家不能保证带薪产假福利的国家。
Besides, America is the only advanced nation on earth that doesn't guarantee paid maternity leave.
所以奥巴马总统，他心中在想，他那几次劳工节的时候，他都在呼吁。
So President Obama earnestly called on.
他呼吁说要国会实行立法。 来使得全美所有的劳动者可以利用带薪病假。
He called on Congress to find a way to make paid leave a reality for all Americans.
说在这个病假中，人们可以照看自己的家人，比如看孩子呢，照看自己的父母，照看自己的配偶，也享受自己的病假。
That they can use it to take care of families or just enjoy their sick leave.
所以总统在演说中，他说：“说实话，没有人希望一个正在咳嗽或者有传染病的餐厅的服务员来上班。”In
his speech, he said, "Nobody wants a waiter who feels like they have to come to work when they are coughing or contagious."
可是他怎么办呢
？But if they don't have sick leave,
他没有病假，可是他还得挣钱工作。
They got to pay. The rent.
他还要付房租。
Yeah, they got to pay the rent.
所以这对任何人都不好，只有国会才有权利通过给所有的美国人这一安全保障。
That's not good for anybody. Unfortunately, only Congress has the power to give this security to all Americans.
所以以后呢，就像上一周我们中间的弟兄姐妹们外出。 享受那个8小时，这里边这个诗歌里边的梦想的时候，他们憧憬的是什么呀？我们就是能够闻闻花香，晒晒太阳。So
when we are enjoying the vacation, that's our dreamed and longed in the song 8 hours, such as smelling the hours and feeling the sunshine.
相信还有好多人还享受不了。
There are a lot of people who cannot enjoy this.
Thank you. 上帝安慰。
May the Lord touch.
那所以上周呢，我们就在加拉太系列讲当中插入了一段，因为大部分有许多弟兄姐妹家庭出外出了，我们插入了一段有腓立比书4:2-7所引出的主题：活出真实的基督徒生命。
So last Sunday we shared a topic of living a real Christian life, derived from Philippians chapter 4:2-7.
那今天呢，我们就回到加拉太书，所以有刚才大家读的加拉太书4:1-7的经文，一起来学习讨论思想：律法时代的奴仆与恩典时代的继承人这个主题。
So today we come back to Galatians chapter 4:1-7, from which we can reflect on and learn a topic: slaves of law and heirs by grace.
那我们将从两个方面展开今天的主题。
We will unfold the content from two aspects.
首先是从加拉太书4:1-3经文所引出的律法时代受管束的奴仆。
First of all, from Galatians chapter 4:1-3, we will talk about slaves and their guardians in the era of law.
加拉太书4:1，我说那承受产业的，虽然是全业的主人，但为孩童的时候，却与奴仆毫无分别。
In Galatians chapter 4:1, I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything.
大家还记得吗？在前面3:23，比喻律法就像监狱的看守人。
Do you remember in chapter 3:23, it assimilates law to the custodians of prison and verse 20. Sorry.
23节。
Yeah.
所以在3:24的时候，比喻律法为启蒙的教师或者是监护人。
And in verse 24, use analogy of guardian.
那在那里是阐明律法所具有的，有看护、有教导、有管教、有规范、有照顾孩童的意思。
Both clarify that law has the historical function of guarding, teaching, disciplining, normalizing, and caring for children.
那其实呢，律法它的功用呢，在经文中比喻看守孩子，实际呢。也就是一直在看守管教以色列民和我们人类的功用。
Actually, for Israelites and all humankind.
那第四章这里的经文进一步阐明律法在照顾、在监管之下的孩童，它具有一个双重的名分。
And chapter 4 further explain.The dual identities the child has under guardian of law.
这就是继承人和奴仆。
Heir and slaves.
所以我们看现代中文译本《加拉太书》4:1，还有继承人在未成年时，虽然所有的产业都是他的，但他跟奴仆没有什么分别。
What I'm saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave.Although he owns the whole estate.
在此呢，与奴仆没有分别的意思呢，并不是指的这个继承人他确实的身份。
Hereby, no different from a slave doesn't point to the heir's identity.
大家应该明白，因为奴隶和家主的儿子，他的身份和地位是截然不同的。
Because the identity and status of a slave and an heir are obviously not the same.
奴隶的社会地位卑微。
The social status of slave is humble.
是可以被买卖的。
And they can be sold.
但是家主的儿子是自由人。
But the son of the master is free person.
是家主整个产业的继承人。
He is the heir of the master.
那在这里呢，只是讲他成年之前，他的人身自由被辖制，他掌控。财产的自由权被限制了，就没有开支票的权利了。
The heir's right of freedom and his power on the property are restricted before they grow up.
所以这个时候的继承人和奴仆没有分别，他被辖制呢，就是在4:2，乃在师傅和管家的手下，只等他父亲 预定的时候来到。
In Galatians chapter 4, verses 2, the heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father.
所以经文这里又出现了两个词，师傅和管家。
In chapter 4, verse 2, two words appear, guardians and trustees.
那从表面理解应该是与前面的三章二十三、二十四节所提到的监狱的看守人呢，或者是启蒙教师，还是监护人，应该是类似的。
Superficially here, the analogies are similar to the analogies of custodians and guardians used in chapter 3, verses 23 and 24.
所以比喻律法像师傅和管家，同样起着监管、照顾、规范的作用。
In the same way, law plays its parts of custody, caring, and normalization.
所以在现代中文译本里边呢，就弱化了这两个词。你看。
Therefore, today's Chinese version weakens these two words.
在他年幼的时候，有人照顾他，替他管理业务。
Unlike most of the popular English versions of Bible, today's Chinese version of verse 2 can be translated as below. When he is underage, someone takes care of him and manages his property until the date set by his father.
但是呢，许多的圣经学家呢，对这里的师傅和管家这样的比喻呢，提出来了很多的看法。
However, many biblical scholars question about the analogies of guardians and trustees and give many different opinions.
发表了大量的不同的见解。
Give many different opinions.
说这个比喻呢，是出自罗马的律法背景呢，还是出自希腊法律的背景？
Does analogy stem from the background of Roman law or Greek law?
还是出自加拉太当地他们的律法，像我们美国一样，除了国家的，还有州里的律法。
Or local law of Galatia.
还有人说是不是借鉴古老的小亚细亚的那个蒲草纸的那些文献
？Or take the ancient Asia Minor, papyrus documents as reference.
甚至有学者指出说，按照传统观点理解的话，为继承人指定监护人。管理财产人并指定继承的日期，这是父亲去世之后对遗嘱的描写的情景。那经文这里边，父亲是上帝，上帝应该是好像不太合适。
Other scholars point out that according to the traditional perspective, assigning a trustee for an heir and date of succession is the description of the carrying out of the father's will after the father is dead. But here, father is God. It's not.
那有学者认为说保罗肯定不是这个意思了，所以呢，他就用说以色列在埃及寄居的时期呢，是亚伯拉罕应许承受者的年幼阶段。
But some scholars don't agree. They insist that the period when the Israelites lived in Egypt is the childhood of the promise to Abraham.
那他在埃及监工手下呢，是受奴役的。
They are slaves in Egypt.
直到上帝预定的四百三十年结束为止，用这样的整个这个大的神学的过程。来解释这两个管家和师傅这个名词。
Until 430 years ended, which is said by God, using this whole story to explain this verse.
大家能接受这样的解释吗？
Can you accept this kind of explanation?
哇，圣经神学的问题太复杂了，是不是
？It's so complicated.
我个人，我还是宁愿接受，就像三章二十三、二十四节延续下来的解释一样。
Pastor himself would rather take the other one as in chapter 3, verses 23 and 24.
比喻律法呢，就像师傅和管家来看守、教导、管教、规范、照顾孩童，以及照顾以色列民，以及照顾我们人类。 直到父亲，也就是上帝所定的那个日子来到。
Where law is assimilated to guardians and trustees, guarding, teaching, disciplining, normalizing, and taking care of children, Israelites, and humankind until the date set by God Father.
那个日子指的是什么日子？什么日子
？What is the date?
是信的时代。前面咱们不是讲过吗？是耶稣基督的时代。
It's in the times of believing.Jesus' time.
所以在父亲为他所定的日子，耶稣基督来到之前，他是怎么样的光景呢？
Thus, before the day set by the Father, which is when Jesus was born.
就第三节经文，我们为孩童的时候，受管于世俗小学之下，也是如此。
Just like Galatians, chapter 4, verses 3.In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world.
第三节这里呢，保罗把话锋一转，将未成年的继承人指向了犹太，还有外邦所有的信徒，我们。
In verse 3, Paul pointed the ires underage to Israelites and also all Gentile believers.
你看和合本修订版写得非常明确。我们也是一样，在未成年的时候被世上粗浅的学说所奴役，也是如此。
Just like what Pastor has said.
那再看看现代中文译本，同样在灵性幼稚的时候，我们也受宇宙间所谓星宿之灵的支配。哇，这个翻译的有点远了，是不是
？It's going a little bit far.
这 ，TEV。
In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world.
所以这里的我们应该是包括所有的犹太和外邦的信徒。
We here includes Israelites and all Gentile believers.
那在第三节经文里边呢，也有一个备受关注的词儿，就是小学。
And there is a high-profile word, principles.
受管于世俗小学之下，这个小学，它有两个含义。基本的含义呢，就是一是基本元素，第二呢是超然的灵力。
The word principles has two primary meanings: a fundamental element, b transcendent spiritual power.
所以这也能理解刚才呢，现代中文译本为什么把它。形容是超宇宙的等等那些，因为它有一个超然的灵力的这个词的意思。
Because here there's the meaning of transcendent spiritual powers. That's why, the Chinese version.
那我们来理解基本元素呢？它实际上也就是 A B C 的意思，是基本法则、初级的原理等等。
Principles means ABC, primary rules.
我们可以理解为犹太人的基本原则。
The Israelites' primary rules.
所以呢，就是指摩西律法相关的割礼啊、食物洁净条例、安息日的禁戒等等等等，这些呢，可以从基本元素来引申出来这个意思。
These words can be taken as the requirements of the law of Moses.
那超然灵力呢，也就是。物质的根本元素，宇宙星体的基本组成的含义。
Transcendent spiritual power is the basic element of material and the basic component of the universe.
它可以被看作是初步的教训，指的就是被世界上各种邪灵所支配的异教信仰的礼仪等等。
The basic teachings of Gentile religion are the paganism ceremonies.Dominated by all kinds of evil spirits in the world.
那其实保罗在此呢，是向加拉太信徒，也是向那些前来搅扰外邦信徒的犹太背景那些奉割礼的那些信徒所发出的一个严厉的挑战。
Here Paul is challenging the believers in Galatia and the believers with Jewish background who see.Circumcision as a necessity and use this requirement to disturb the Gentile believers.
他的言外之意是说， 如果你们动摇，如果你们选择回头去过律法下的生活。
If you sway to lead the life under the law.
这个律法指的什么律法？
What law?
什么律法？摩西律法。
Law of Moses.
如果你们回头的话，实际上与拜偶像交鬼的人没有两样。
Doing this, you will be no different from the idol worshippers and mediums.
那就是世俗的小学。
This is the principle of the world.
因为生活在那种基本原则和初步教训之下的人们，无论是在摩西律法之下的犹太人，还是在各样民间宗教礼仪之下的外邦人，他们的光景都如同受管束的什么呀，奴仆一样，完全没有自由的自主权。
Because people living under the primary rules and elementary teachings, no matter the Israelites under the law of Moses or the Gentiles under the folk religion rules, all are the slaves under custodians without freedom and autonomy.
所以前面提到1890年美国制造业的劳动者每周平均工作的时间是60甚至到100小时。
We have mentioned above that in 1890, workers in manufacturing industry worked an average of 60 to 100 hours weekly.
那据资料记载，有相当比例的工人一周是工作7天。
It is recorded that quite large percentage of workers worked 7 days a week.
而且那些年代的工人通常呢，从十几岁就开始做工。
At that time, the workers usually worked from teens too.
起早贪黑，没日没夜的劳作，直到他们去世或者是病倒无法工作。
They work from dawn to dusk, day and night, until they are dead, or they got a disease, unable to labor.
所以他们可以说是近代的奴隶奴仆的写照。
They can be called the slaves in modern times.
那美国的这些近代的奴仆们怎么摆脱那种境况？
How did they get rid of their slave's life?
跟我们大陆熟悉的话就是造反革命。奥巴马总统今年劳工节的时候，在马萨诸塞州的一个集会上赞扬美国的劳工运动，他是这么赞扬的。
This year's Labor Day in Massachusetts, President Obama praised the U.S. labor movement.
这些勤奋的美国人走上街头，组织起来帮助工薪家庭改善生活。
He said it was hard-working Americans who marched and organized to help working families get ahead.
这些勤奋的美国人不仅仅是为了改善自己的经济收入。
It was hard-working folks who demanded not simply a bigger paycheck for themselves.
而且他们也为他们的同伴能够获得劳动保障而努力。
But more security for the folks working next to them too.
所以那我们回到经文来看，这里讲说身为一个继承人，家产所有家产的继承人却过着奴仆一样的日子。
So back here, though with the identity of heirs, we still live the life of slaves. What a miserable life.
苦不苦啊？
A miserable life.
苦不堪言，是不是？所以接下来的经文我们来看。
So, let us see the.
加拉太书4:4-7的经文，恩典时代的得自由的继承人。
Let's see in the next one, heirs with freedom in the era of grace.
加拉太书4:4-5经文，及至时候满足，上帝就差遣他的儿子为女子所生，且生在律法以下。要把律法以下的人赎出来，叫我们得着儿子的名分。
Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law.
父亲为少主指定的日子终于来到了。
The day set by the father for the heir finally come.
年少的继承者已长大成人。
And the heir under age before is grown up to be an adult.
时候满足可以称为是时机成熟。
The set time had fully come means the fullness of time had come.
那我们今天的信徒，我们回头来看上帝差派他的儿子耶稣基督来到人间的时机，我们可以非常理性的能看到有两大方面的因素。
Now we look back to the dates when God sent His Son to Earth. There are two factors.
从外邦世界的环境而言。
From the backdrop of the Gentile world.
那在罗马帝国统治的大环境下。
The environment controlled by Roman Empire.
统一的、通用的希腊语言。
Is characterized by the unitive language of Greek.
然后政府利用税收呢，修筑了四通八达的交通道路。
The well-developed transportation.
那帝国的军队呢，维持战后的和平的景象。
And the peaceful scene maintained by the Empire Army after war.
但是呢，当时呢，还有一个非常突出的社会现象。
However, there was an outstanding social phenomenon.
就是社会阶层的贫富悬殊。
The extreme disparity between the rich and the poor.
可以用奇特来形容。
It reached to the extent of an era.
一方面，当时呢，罗马的人口中，大家知道当时的自由人和奴隶的比例吗？在罗马帝国的时候。
Do you know the percentage of free people and slaves at that time?
每三个人中有两个都是奴隶。
Out of three people in Rome, two are slaves.
所以在另一方面呢，一般的市民在罗马政府他要搞这些建设，所以在那种奇特的税制下，他们饱受着剥削，是苦不堪言。
On the other hand, the normal citizens lived miserable lives exploited by the unreasonable tax regime of Rome.
人们的内心深处渴望有一个和平的君来拯救他们。
From deep down, people were looking forward to a real prince of peace to free them.
那这是从信仰的外界外邦，那从以色列民来讲。
For the Israelites,
当以色列人出埃及进入流奶与蜜的迦南地之后，
When Israelites entered Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey,
摩西律法在人们的心中不断地发挥着监护和看管的功用。
The law of Moses had been working as custodians and guardians.
但是到那个时候，律法的看管、教导、管教、规范甚至照顾已经成为一种侠制了。
However, the guarding, teaching, disciplining, normalizing, and carrying of the law had been changed into a heavy load, which restrained.
成为侠制，成为捆绑，甚至成为咒诅人们享受与上帝同在的真正自由的重担了。
The law became bondage or even curse for the people to enjoy the freedom of being with God.
所以这就是上帝差遣他的儿子带给人类救恩的日子，是时机成熟的日子。
This is the exact timing God chose to send His Son to bring salvation to humankind.
为女子所生是什么意思？
Born of a woman means what?
什么意思？他妈妈是女子。
Jesus' mother is a woman.
说明耶稣基督具有真实的人性，与人类完全是认同的。
This means that Jesus had the true human nature and empathized with human being.
生在律法以下什么意思？
Born under law means what?
什么意思？表明耶稣基督确确实实是律法之下当时的犹太人。
It means that Jesus was a real Jew.
他也生活在律法的约束之下， 那个社会中。
He also lived in a society under the restriction of the law.
那提到这儿，可能一直以来不断的有人发出疑问。我想在座也还有人有这样的疑问。
All the while people endlessly asking that.
说耶稣既然是为了救赎万国万民而来，为什么却只有巴勒斯坦以色列地区的人能够见得着他？
Since Jesus was coming for salvation of all human, why he only appeared to people in the regions of Palestine and Israel?
其实呀，有一些现代的神学家已经将耶稣基督在那个特定的时刻、特定的地方降生前后所发生的事件，他已经给了他一个非常非常他们认为的那种跟刚才大家有疑问那个问题比较迈出的一个定论，他说什么？说是令人反感的那个特定性。
Actually, some theologians named the events happened around Jesus' birth at the specific time and place the offensive specificity.
那怎样回答这样的疑问，或者叫神学定论？怎么样回答
？How should we respond to such question and theology verdict？
很简单，这是上帝他的救恩计划。
The answer is simple. Salvation is God's plan.
而且，也只有相信上帝的以色列民更容易接受耶稣基督所颁布的大使命。
And only the believing Israelites who could easily identify with the Great Commission.
他们容易接受。才能够执行，就是将这样的救恩从耶路撒冷、犹太全地和撒玛利亚一直到地极四处去传扬。
And bring this salvation from Jerusalem to all Judah and Samaria and all nations.
可以接受吗？这样的回答。
Can you accept this answer?
不管怎么样讲，我想请问。这是怎样的一个救恩？
Anyway, what kind of salvation is this?
就是下边的经文，也就是刚才我们读的那第五节的经文，我来看一下。现在中文译本说是：为要救赎在律法下的人，使我们获得上帝儿女的名分。
Galatians chapter 4, verse 5, to redeem those under the law.That we might receive adoption to sonship.
使我们获得上帝儿子的名分，确实实际上讲是怎么样？说的确凿一点，应该是被上帝领养的儿女。
Actually, this sonship is the adoption by God.
成为上帝家中的一员。
Becoming a member of God's family.
那结果呢，就是第七节所描述的，可见从此以后你不是奴仆，乃是儿子了，既是儿子，就靠着上帝成为后嗣。
As in Galatians chapter 4, verse 7, so you are no longer a slave, but God's child, and since you are his child, God has made you also an heir.
我们再看一下现代中文译本。这样你不再是奴仆，而是儿子，既然是上帝的儿子，上帝就以你为继承人。
Since you are not a slave.
来 ，right here.
看不清。
Today's English.
So then you are no longer a slave, but is a child. And since you are a child.
这经文第七节这里和第一节同样是继承人，是儿子。他的身份没有变，但是呢，名分却发生了质的改变。
The identities of sonship and heirs are the same in verse 7 and verse 1.
从他未成年的后嗣继承人的身份，变为成年的嗣子继承人的身份了。
But a qualitative change had happened to the status from underage heir to adult heir.
从受奴役的奴仆的名分。被收纳为上帝的儿子的名分。
From the status of slave to sonship.
这个改变的时候，这个改变的日子， 就是耶稣基督来到的那个日子。
It is when Jesus was born.
所以借着耶稣基督的救赎，信的人就得以脱离了律法的约束和咒诅。
So through Jesus' redemption, believers break away from the restraints and curse of the law.
那这句话怎么证明呢？
How can we testify this?
就是我们回到刚才跳了第六节，现在回到第六节，加拉太书四章六节，你们既为儿子，上帝就差他儿子的灵进入你们的心，呼叫阿爸父。
As in Galatians chapter 4 verse 6, because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out Abba Father.
可以说这是我们人类能够得到的一个非常非常大的恩典。
What an amazing grace has humankind ever received?
我们之所以能够得到这样的恩典，是因为上帝的灵进入到我们的心中了。
The reason why we can receive this grace is that the Spirit of God has entered into our hearts.
是圣灵在我们心中的深处做工。
Spirit works in us.
让我们这些被上帝领养的儿女能够真真切切地感受到上帝对我们的接纳。
To let us adopted sons and daughters feel for real God's acceptance and being members of God's family.
我们已经成为上帝家中的一员了。
We are already the members of God's family.
你看现在中文翻译的第六节，因为我们是他的儿女，上帝就差遣他儿子的灵进入我们的心，呼叫阿爸，我的父亲。
Because you are his son, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out Abba, Father.
那和这个加拉太书四章六节类似的经文，在罗马书八章十五节也出现。
The parallel scriptures appear in Romans chapter 8, verse 15.
你们所受的不是奴仆的心，仍旧害怕，而所受的乃是儿子的心，因此我们呼叫阿爸。
The spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by his name we cry, Abba, Father.
呼叫上帝为阿爸父。
Calling God Abba, Father.
面对这样的恩典，同样是刚才我们提到了耶稣降临到犹太人中间，成为真正的犹太人。但是同样是相信上帝的犹太以色列民，却走向了两个极端。
Facing this great grace, the Jews believing in the same God went to two different extremes.
因为对当时的犹太人来讲，人称上帝为父是对上帝的亵渎不敬的。
Back then, it's blasphemy for the Jews that a human calls God Father.
而且是他们绝对不敢做的事情。
And they dare not, to do this.
那对于和耶稣朝夕相处的犹太门徒而言，他们羡慕，他们渴望能够像眼前跟前的这位拉比老师一样，能够通过祷告与上帝建立那种亲密的关系。
For the Jewish disciples staying with Jesus day and night, they admired and longed for an intimate relationship with God through prayer, just as their rabbi did.
而那些对上帝敬虔有加的犹太的大祭司、文士、长老们
，For the Jewish priests, scribes and elders.
因着他们听到、看到耶稣在祷告的时候称上帝为父。
Because they heard Jesus called God Father.
他们就以亵渎上帝的名、罪名，将他们世世代代所盼望的救主弥赛亚耶稣基督钉死在十字架上。
They, on the contrary, crucified their long-awaited Messiah on the cross.
但是他们可能也不明白，恰恰他 他们却完成了耶稣基督死而复活的救恩计划。
However, what they did ended up in finishing the salvation plan in which Jesus would rise from the dead.
所以有一段经文是在路加福音十一章一节，说耶稣在一个地方祷告，祷告完了，有个门徒对他说：“求主教导我们祷告。”
There's a scripture in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray.
请问当年跟随主耶稣的门徒为什么要请耶稣教他们祷告？为什么？
My question is, why the disciple following Jesus asked Jesus to teach him to pray?
难道他们不知道怎样祷告吗？
Could it because they didn't know what to pray?
如果论到祷告，犹太人应该是这个世界上最善于祷告的民族了。
When it comes to prayer, Jews might be the most capable nation in praying on earth.
那刚才讲了，他们不敢，但是他们却羡慕，却渴望能够像眼前的这位拉比和老师一样，通过祷告与上帝建立了亲密的关系。
As we just mentioned, that they dared not but admired and longed for an intimate relationship with God through prayer, just like the rabbi in front of them did.
也能够做那些超越当时的惯例、超越那种属灵的伦常的关系，而称呼上帝为阿爸父，做这样的祷告。
More than that, they want to surpass convention and spiritual ethics and routines to call God Abba, Father, in their prayer.
也正是借着早年门徒的渴慕的请求，主耶稣基督为信徒赐下了那我们可以说是无与伦比的恩典。
In response to the earnest plea of a disciple in the early years, Jesus gave us believers this amazing grace to teach us the essence of prayer.
这个恩典就是教导我们祷告的真谛。
The essence of prayer.
就是开始我们所唱的那首诗歌，主祷文。
It's the Lord's Prayer.
我现在邀请大家一起起立，我们用中英文同声诵读主祷文，作为今天正道的结束，并预备接下来的圣餐礼。
I invite all of us to stand up and read aloud the Lord's Prayer in Chinese or English to end our sermon today and prepare for the Holy Communion.
来，我们一起来。我们在天上的父，愿人都尊你的名为圣，愿你的国降临，愿你的旨意行在地上，如同行在天上。我们日用的饮食，今日赐给我们，免我们的债，如同我们免了人的债，不叫我们遇见试探，救我们脱离凶恶，因为国度、权柄、荣耀，全是你的，直到永远。阿门。大家请坐。